Good morning, brethren, or perhaps good afternoon, or I guess in some places is good eye. In 1859, Charles Dickens wrote a novel that took place in London and Paris before and during the French Revolution. It was entitled A Tale of Two Cities, and it opens with a famous paragraph. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epic of belief. It was the epic of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. We had everything before us. We had nothing before us. We were all going direct to heaven. We were all going direct the other way. In short, the period was so far like the present period that some of the noisiest authorities insisted on its being received for good or evil, for evil, in the superlative degree of comparison only. Now, does that introduction sound familiar? Mr. Armstrong spoke often about the amazing paradox of today's world back in the 70s and 80s. Look at how much that paradox has grown since then. Many of us hold in our hand a little device on which we have instant access to all of man's knowledge. We can contact any person in the world who also has this device or one similar to it, using not only voice, but also video. We can keep up with our family members. We can attend church services virtually, even though crippled by a pandemic. And yet, with the same device, we can view real-time images of wars and strife and murder. Reputations can instantly be ruined by simply texting on this little device. Lies and deceit can be spread in a matter of minutes. This technological world indeed is good and evil at the same time. Mr. Armstrong also talked many times about the two trees. At the time, I don't think I or many of us really understood the significance of this teaching. There are indeed two ways of life. The way of get, the tree of the good, knowledge of good and evil, and the way of give, the tree of life. And there are two worlds based on these two trees, these two ways of life, the present evil world and the coming world tomorrow. Indeed, there are two worlds in which we all have been and will be living. So just what does the Bible mean when it talks about a world? Paul writes of the God of this world in 2 Corinthians. Turn to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. 2 Corinthians 4, 4. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. And from Strong's Concordance, the word world means age. It's from the Greek word aeon. It's a period of existence, not merely a period of time. And in John 1, second chapter and the 15th verse, John 1:15. We're instructed to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Here the word world is from the Greek word cosmos, meaning orderly arrangement, a decoration. So putting these two concepts together, we have today's world, A time period of 6,000 years of orderly arrangement governed by Satan, the adversary, Satan the slanderer, Satan the deceiver. And we have tomorrow's world that will begin with 1,000 years of an orderly arrangement governed by the God family, followed by an infinite period of God's orderly arrangement. Today, we'll have a tale of two worlds. We will contrast these two worlds in five areas: foundation, family, education, government, and justice. First, let's look at the foundation. The foundation of this present world. When Mother Eve took the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, it was based on the way of Get. The fruit of this tree was desirable because she was looking out for herself. Her thought process was, look at what this tree can give me. Today's world is built upon this foundation of the way of Get. A major scourge of this end time is the prevalence and acceptability of lying, not being truthful, deception. And why the lying? To get what you want, to bring your opponents down, to start wars, to gain political control. The way of Get is the way of what's in it for me. Now, imagine building a modern skyscraper, 40, 50 stories of plush apartments, stores, businesses, entertainment, very flashy, very modern. This skyscraper will have elaborate power distribution and plumbing infrastructure, a building which could be a city unto itself. Now imagine that building being constructed on a faulty foundation full of cracks with no ground support, built upon sand and not bedrock. That building is doomed from the time of the construction of the first story. It may take many months to complete the building as stories are added. The building may be magnificent. It may seem immovable, indestructible, but as the final stories are completed, the foundation will give way and the entire building will collapse with a great fall. And Christ alluded to this in a parable recorded in Matthew. Turn to Matthew 7, verse 24. Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded on a rock. And every one that hears the sayings of mine, these sayings of mine, and does them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Now let's look at the condition of this world prior to its collapse. We find this in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, the way of Get, proud. Think about how proud this world of it is of its sins. Consider gay pride, or the Pride Month, or celebrating pride. Blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Without natural affection, we are witnessing the decline of the family because of this lack of natural affection. Truce breakers, false accusers, diablos, slanderers, incontinent, no self-control, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, literally puffed up with smoke, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. This world was and is being built upon a faulty foundation based on the tree of knowledge of good and evil that began in the Garden of Eden, and it was based upon a lie. Let's take a look at when the cornerstone of this world was laid back in Genesis. Genesis 3, verse 1. Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle, wise, or cunning than any beast in the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of any tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. And she took the fruit thereof, and did eat, and did give also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And so this present world began with a foundation laid 6,000 years ago, a foundation that was set on a spiral to destruction, doomed to failure from the beginning. The foundation based on a lie told by the father of lies. You shall surely not die. Knowledge will save you. Follow the science. A phrase that I am thoroughly disgusted with now. And what of tomorrow's world? The foundation for tomorrow's world is simple and sure. It will be based on the fear of God and God's truth. No lies permitted here. Turn to Proverbs 1, verse 7. Proverbs 1, verse 7. We'll read about the foundation of this world. Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Take note of the word beginning. It means the first, in place, time, order, rank, but it also means first fruit. This is the same word used in Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. Tomorrow's world will be built on the rock, the first fruit. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21. 1 Corinthians 15, 21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, the beginning, afterward they that Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he shall have delivered the kingdom of God even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. And in Isaiah 28 verse 16. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believes shall not make haste. And turn to Zechariah 4:9. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it, and you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. And in Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Tomorrow's world will have a sure foundation. Now let's consider the family. What's the family state in these two worlds we have? How does a family fare out in these two worlds? In today's world, there's a definite attack on the family. Satan means to destroy the nuclear family that God has created. This world seeks to blur the line between male and female. The transgender movement undermines the obvious and undeniable biological differences between a man and a woman. Subtle ways such as reforming language and injecting acceptance and entertainment and educating children to accept this abomination as fact attempts to remove the godly ordained genders. The words she and he and mother or father are no longer appropriate, as they may offend those who are confused by their gender. Male and female created he them. In this world, homosexual marriages are being accepted where it is biologically impossible to produce children. This world seeks to undermine the relationship between husband and wife, father and mother. And consider modern entertainment. In many sitcoms, the wife is pictured as the leader of the family, and the husband is a spineless jellyfish. The husband submissively sits by as the wife makes all the decisions. The husband is a dolt. The wife is a cornucopia of wisdom and knowledge. In this world, children are not being taught to respect their parents, or any elder for that matter. Again, consider today's entertainment. Children are shown to be smarter than their parents and openly disrespecting them. Children are no longer disciplined in this world. For in this world, that is considered child abuse. I was taught to reply, yes sir and no ma'am, not only to my parents, but to all of my elders. As a child, I was taught to rise from my seat anytime an elder would enter the room. I was not only disciplined by my parents, but by my grandparents also, and even by my aunts and uncles. When I disobeyed my grandmother, she would swat me with a switch from a tree. Not only that, she would make me retrieve the switch from the backyard, and she told me that if the switch was too small, that she would go and find a good one. You see, the nuclear family is modeled after the God family, and so Satan hates it and would destroy it. However, in tomorrow's world, the family is foundational. God the Father will always be the head of the family. Turn to Ephesians 4:3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. In tomorrow's world, the Son, Jesus Christ, will always be under the Father. 1 Corinthians 8:6. But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. In John 5:19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he does, these also does the Son likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, yet ye may marvel. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickens them, so the Son quickens whom he will. For the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. And in tomorrow's world, the wife, the church, will always be under the husband. Turn to Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject to their husbands in everything. The church will always be under Christ. And the children will be under the authority of the wife or the mother. Turn to Isaiah 30:20. Very familiar scripture at the feast time. Isaiah 30:20. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not your teachers be removed into a corner any more. But your eyes shall see your teachers, and your ears shall hear a word behind you, saying, This is the way, walk you in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. Those under you will have to obey you. Now let's consider education. What can we say of today's educational system? Much of this world's method of teaching is based upon the pagan philosopher Plato. This is an article from Plato's Theory of Education Explained from the website ThroughEducation.com. Quote, if you look at it in a certain way, it mirrors the kind of educational system we have in the present. The compulsory education children in the United States, ages 6 to 18, attend all general knowledge from basic to advanced knowledge. From there, a large percentage of students begin to make their way toward the workforce after high school and prove to be capable of performing work with skills they built during their education. On the other hand, you also have people who go on to specialize in their skills and education through post-secondary education, like certification programs, vocational school, undergraduate programs, up to doctorate programs. In fact, the way Plato categorizes the stages of education is what generally influences the way we categorize and sort students into terms of year levels. Plato divided the system education into two, elementary and higher education, and divided classes based on age and class. End quote. But let's read what Paul states about these so-called philosophers, which gives us insight into today's educational system. Turn to Romans 1:20. and verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. That sums up the world's educational system. It's based on the worship of the material world. It's based on the denial of a Creator. It is based on the notion that all creation, including man, came into existence by blind chance, by accident. It teaches that man is nothing more than another animal. It teaches that there is no absolute truth, that morals are man-made, that man must decide what is right and wrong. The world education is based on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What can we say about education in the world tomorrow? The foundation of God's education system will be the tree of life, love, respect, and fear of the eternal. It will teach about outgoing concern for your fellow man. Turn to Isaiah 11, verse 9. Isaiah 11, verse 9, another well-known scripture. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in Habakkuk 2, verse 14. Habakkuk 2, verse 14. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in verse 2 Peter 3, verse 18. 2 Peter 3, 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And we've already read Isaiah 30, but let's look at it again from the educational point of view of how education will be conducted in tomorrow's world. Let's read Isaiah 30, verse 20 again. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not your teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but your eyes shall see your teachers, and your ears shall hear a word behind you, saying, this is the way, walk in it. And when you turn to the right hand, and when you turn to the left, ye shall defile also the covering of the graven images of silver, and the ornament of molten images of gold. This material world based on pagan education, you shall be abhorred. And you shall cast them away as a menstruous cloth, and you shall say unto it, get you hence. There will be a wealth of qualified teachers to show people the way of life. Notice in verse 22 that the result of the discarding of the graven images, the old educational system will be done away. It will no longer be the worship of Mother Nature. Now let's talk about government. Today's government. Today's governments are self-serving. We have politicians who have been in government for decades and truly do not serve their constituents. In this world's politics, only rich people can afford to run in for office, and many who win enhance their pocketbooks while in office. It seems that the goal of the government is to keep people poor so that they can be controlled. The world is a world of slavery. Look at the various forms of slavery we have now. Let's look at human trafficking. Don't kid yourself. Slavery is alive and well in this world. This is what the website SafeHorizon.com has to say about human trafficking. Quote, definition, human trafficking is the practice of exploiting adults and children for use as commodities, as objects and conditions of sexual and labor servitude, also known as modern slavery. Human trafficking is the illegal trade in human beings through recruitment or abduction by means of force, fraud, or coercion for the purposes of forced labor, debt bondage, or sexual exploitation. According to this site, 24.9 million people fell victim to human trafficking in 2017. And what about credit slavery? Consumers are enslaved by their debts. According to the website creditcards.com, the total credit card debt in May of this year was $976 billion, nearly $1 trillion. Indeed, it was over $1 trillion in January of this year. Americans are enslaved to the banking system. And what about the national debt? The United States is enslaved by its own debt. There's a website called thedebtclock.com. It shows the current national debt in real time. It increases about $40,000 each second. The current debt is over $28 trillion. This is inconceivable. It's unsustainable. Each American citizen now owes over $92,000. The world's governments are on a collision course, and the train cannot be stopped. And finally, what about enslavement to Satan? Romans 6:16. Know ye not that you to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether it is sin to death or obedience to righteousness. And let's not forget who governs and enslaves this world. Let's again read 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. This world is enslaved to the God of this world. He is in charge of this world in this moment. There's one reason why the Day of Atonement is so important. It's easy to get angry at the people who are destroying this country. But where does the real blame fall? On the adversary. Slavery to Satan and sin will no longer exist. There will be true liberty on the Day of Atonement. In tomorrow's world, the government will not be by the people, nor will it be of the people, but it will definitely be for the people. Turn to Hebrews 8 and verse 10. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them into their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest, for I will be merciful to their righteousness, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. A covenant is a term used in government. Here's the definition found on the website Legal Dictionary, the free dictionary.com. An agreement, contract, or written promise between two individuals that frequently constitute a pledge to do or to refrain from doing something. The government of tomorrow's world, God's government, will be based on God's law of love as summarized in the Ten Commandments. The children of the living God will be kings, priests, judges, and scribes, and they can't be bribed, nor can they be corrupted. You will not be able to deceive or lie to them. They will be able to see past the appearance. God's government will be run by rulers who serve. Turn to Luke 22 and verse 25, please. Luke 22, verse 25. And he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But you shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that does serve. For whether is greater, he that sits at meat or he that serves? Is it not that he that sits at meat, but I am among you as he that serves?" And finally, let's talk about justice. What can we say about this world's justice? Justice is depicted as a statue of a blindfolded woman with a sword in one hand and a balance in the other. Let's read about this statue from the SupremeCourt.com website. Quote, "One of the most recognized legal symbols visible in the architecture of the Supreme Court building is a female figure representing justice, who is depicted in three sculptural groups. Portraying justice as a female figure dates back to the depictions of Themis and Justicia, in ancient mythology. Themis, known for her clear-sightedness, was a Greek goddess of justice and law. In Roman mythology, Justicia was one of the four virtues, along with prudence, fortitude, and temperance. Over time, justice became associated with scales to represent impartiality and a sword to symbolize power. During the 16th century, justice was often portrayed with a blindfold. The origin of the blindfold is unclear, but it seems to have been added to indicate the tolerance or ignorance to abuse of the law by the judicial system. Today, the blindfold is generally accepted as a symbol of impartiality, but it may be used to signify these other traits in political cartoons. Like so much of this world's ways, justice is based on pagan depictions and concepts. When the Supreme Court article states that blindfold represents impartiality, it also states that its original meaning was tolerance to the abuse of law. Today, justice is not only blind, but it's deaf and dumb. The justice system in this world is used as a tool of political manipulation to advance one party over the other. It will entertain frivolous cases while refusing to judge on critical matters. It is used as a weapon against enemies, as opposed to serving the people. It will place a man in jail for life for holding up a taco stand, and yet sentence cold-hearted criminals to only a few years in prison, or maybe even no prison at all. How often has the Supreme Court justice refused to speak on serious matters that affect us all? In tomorrow's world, justice will be true justice. It would be based on a simple concept taught by Jesus Christ in John 7, verse 24. John 7, 24. "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. The judges in tomorrow's world will be powerful, incorruptible, full of wisdom." Turn to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 2. "Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know you not that we shall judge angels? How much more the things that pertain to this life? In this life, we are training to be judges so that we can indeed render true judgment based on God's law and righteousness. Even though, as a human, we cannot discern what is in the heart, in tomorrow's world, we'll be able to. Turn to Luke 16, 15. And he said unto them, You are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination to the sight of God. God judges the heart. He sees through the appearance. In 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4, 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 4, But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which tries our hearts. Judges in tomorrow's world will try the hearts. So in conclusion, we see that this world is built upon a crumbling and faulty foundation. The foundation is based on the way of get. This world seeks to destroy the family. This world's education is based on the faulty theory of evolution and pagan academics. This world's government is self-serving and arrogant. This world's justice is anything but just. God's world will be based on the way of give. In God's world, the family will be supreme, with the father at its head. The world tomorrow's education will be based on the fear of God. God's government will always seek to give and serve. And justice in God's world will be based on truth and righteousness. And so, brethren, this has been a tale of two worlds, one doomed to fail from its foundation, from its beginning, and one that will last for eternity.